for slow. As they walked along that long Emmaus road, then a man appeared, and as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" They said, "Sir, have you not heard? You must be a stranger this town, 'cause the one who came in the Father's name has been cut down. They laid his body in the ground." As they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scriptures and began to teach. The preacher of preachers, he began to preach. In the wilderness, the children had nothing there to eat, but manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living water came forth out of a rock in the sand. When the three Hebrew boys, they were thrown into the flames, the fourth man appeared, they even called him by name. The manna, the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain. It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
Jesus said, "I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me." Oh, listen, you may be on the road of life this morning and feel like there's no hope, but I'm telling you, I believe you'd hear the Lord say this.
Who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think made the day and the night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think makes the blind to see? Who made the very air that you breathe? Who defeated death and won the victory? It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
It was me.
Jesus said, "I'm the one who died for you on Calvary. It was me who loved you when no one else would, who gave his life when no one else could." Well, the Lord's here this morning, and he wants you to know, it was me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Obey his voice this morning. He's here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's here this morning.
Bibles this morning, want to turn with us over in the book of Acts, where I believe the Lord laid on our heart. In fact, we'll be in Acts a little bit tonight, and I urge you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about, unless the Lord changes it, the Apostle Paul. What a man. What a man of God. And if we can just get a measure of what that man was for the Lord. And I tell you, I begin to, when the Lord laid it, put it in my spirit, and I begin to write some stuff down. I saw a lot of good things there, and no way I can cover all about the Apostle Paul, but I'm telling you, it'll encourage you in your walk with the Lord. Amen. In fact, in one scripture, he said they accused him of being a ringleader. I don't know if y'all have ever read that in the Bible, but Paul was a ringleader. He's a ringleader of them Christian people. So, when's the last time somebody called you a ringleader? Amen. So we need to measure up a little bit, don't we? So I urge you to be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I believe you will enjoy it. I enjoyed studying it, and I believe I'll enjoy preaching it tonight. Amen. But this morning we're talking here from the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, starting in verse number 19. The title of what we're talking about is Abiding in the Ship. It says, verse 19, it says, "In the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest," in other words, it was a great tempest, "lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away," given up. There's a point of giving up. And I ask you this morning, are you at the point of giving up? Have you ever been to a point of giving up? Amen. Well, I look at the one next to you and tell them right now, now is not the time to give up. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. And Father, we just ask, Lord, this morning that you would, Lord, speak to us through this anointed word, God. Father, the way that you would have it to come into each life. And Father, in here this morning, there may be some on the verge of giving up, but Lord, there may be some in here that is so on fire. But God, this same word has a way of ministering to every one of our needs simultaneously, Lord. That's how powerful this word is. And Father, help it to grow our faith this morning by coming this way, Lord. And Father, we give you the glory already for the success of the word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 19 says something very interesting, and it's kind of like that so often we in our individual lives do. That it says here that on the third day that we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So often we do it with our own way, our own way, you know. Rather than doing it God's way, so often we do what we want to do and we find ourselves in trouble. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. One of the last songs that old Elvis recorded was, "I Did It My Way." I wonder if he could come back today, would he have done it his way? I mean, there's a lot of things in my life, if I could live my life over again, I wouldn't have done it my way, would you? Amen. But I want to do it God's way, don't you? Like Jesus prayed, "Father, not my will, but your will be done." So often people will do it their way, and even this morning people are out there doing it in the world their way, what they think, what I want to do. We're almost like the man in Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, had six eyes. It's all about I, me, you know. You listen to people's conversation and they'll tell on themselves that when they put I in there or me, and you know what I want to do, and it's all about them. And they find themselves headed for trouble. Amen. I want to do it God's way. Don't you? He says in Mark's gospel in the 8th chapter, verse 35, he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" So often we do it our way, but when we go out there and we try to obtain the things that is so catching to our eyes to find satisfaction. You know, Mick Jagger sang since the 60s, "I can't get no satisfaction." And here it is in 2011 and he's still singing the song, "I can get no satisfaction," because he's doing it his way rather than God's way. Let me tell you, without God in your life, you'll never have satisfaction. Amen. That's why there's so much divorce in the land, because people can't be satisfied with one because they've never got satisfied by God. Amen. God is our satisfaction. Amen. It says in James in the 4th chapter in verse number 1, he said, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members?" Because you have no satisfaction. You lust and have not. You kill, you desire to have and cannot obtain. That sounds like the world. They're out there stealing and killing and trying to get happiness and finding it in all the wrong places. You fight and you war and you have not because you ask not. And you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Amiss means evil or badly. You're going about it the wrong way. You're asking the wrong one. They're out there in search of the world and asking the world to satisfy. And God is the only one that can satisfy. How do you know, Brother David? Because I've lived on that side of the fence. I've lived out there in the world. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Oh, you can get satisfaction for a day or two. Amen. You can find happiness for a season, but seasons change. Amen. It says, what does a man gain if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Amen. Since Psalms 37:4 said, delight thyself in the Lord also, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, we'll allow God to come into our life and mold our life into what he would have it to be. You ought to read the rest of the book of James, the 4th chapter, when you get home. I don't have time. Let's go back over here in Acts in the 27th chapter in verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then. You ever seen a person with no hope? That's a bad place to be, friends. And there's a lot of people out there. Just heard on the news yesterday of a young man out there in Arizona that has taken and killed several people and wounded many others. Amen? Because he had no hope in his life. He was searching for something and he got in the wrong way. Amen? The wrong thing controlling his life. What happens here when people begin to do it their own way and undoing it with their own hands, that the storm appears in their life. It says in Luke's gospel in the 8th chapter in verse number 23, it says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. Who? The Word. When the Word falls asleep in us, we find ourselves in a storm. Amen. When we allow the Word of God to fall asleep in us and we don't rely on the Word of God and walk the Word of God and be the Word of God and live the Word of God, then troubles start creeping into our lives. Said in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Read it backwards. If we're not allowing the Spirit of God to lead us, then we're not the sons of God. He can't delight. He can't give us the desires of our heart because we're not delighting in him. Amen. It says, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Mark's gospel says they came to him and he says, Master, carest not that we perish? Yeah, God cares about us. But look, you know, we don't listen to him. Amen. We don't listen to him so often and we do it our way. He says, then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? He said, why didn't you do it? He said, why did you wake me up from a good sleep? Amen. In fact, where is Jesus this morning? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the church world sits around in agony and all kind of problems, and they're wanting him to come down off the throne in heaven and come down and fix it for them. And he said, no, I have left you my word. Just use my word. Use my name to it. Amen. You do it. You do it the way I would do it, in my name. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what he's telling us to do. Verse 21, it says, after they've done this and after the storm was, in verse 21, it says, but after long, what's it say? Everybody say it. But after long abstinence. What is abstinence? That's self-denial. Self-denial. Oh, we can't deny ourselves for something. I mean, we try to fast one little old day, you know, sometimes. And you know, old flesh is raring up and kicking and saying, oh, you got to give me something. You can't deny me. Come on. I believe the church world better get flesh under control. Amen. That's the problem with the church. They've allowed flesh to come in and take over the church. And the church has gone from spiritual to fleshly. We better get back to spiritual things. Amen. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Not the flesh. The flesh is weak. It gives into temptations. The spirit is willing to please God. But after long abstinence, after long self-denial, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, You shall have hearkened unto me and have not loosened from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. After long abstinence, he says in Luke's Gospel 9:23, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're talking about tonight, the Apostle Paul, and what a man of God he was. And he picked up the cross that was put on his shoulders and he carried it unto the end. Amen. He kept the faith until the end. Well, let me tell you, every one of us in here has a cross to bear. Amen. We have a cross to bear, and we better pick up our calling. Your cross is your calling. Everyone has a calling. Amen. He says, take up his cross daily and follow me. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth and he said in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, can you get a picture of this? That for several days, there's not been a star, nor the sun, nor the moon, nothing but total darkness, a storm going in their life. And they're tossed to and fro. Water's all in the ship. I mean, you know, they're just scared for their life. They've thrown over the tackling and everything to try to lighten the ship that they won't go down, you know. I mean, they're trying to save themselves. And for several days, they've not seen light. It's just total darkness. And all of a sudden, here's this man comes in with some joy. Here's this preacher stands up and says, be of good cheer. It's almost like, you know, when Sister Connie was giving birth to Katina back there. And, you know, here's the proud papa, you know, back then. We couldn't go in with them, you know, during delivery. But, you know, during labor, you know, they'd let you go in and out. So she was in there and all these pains and everything. And I walk in with my big old grin. Like this. She looks up at me and she said, you better wipe that smile off your face. Amen. I mean, glory to God. I see y'all fanning. Let me see if I can do something over here. Amen. What can I do here? Help me, Lord, to do something. Them heaters are running. I don't know what I need to do here. Help me, Lord. Let's put it in air conditioned mode. Amen. Mode AC. And then I don't know if that's going to do much. Maybe I'll just turn the fan on. If you listen by CD, just hold on a minute. Amen. Yeah, we gotta make this flesh happy in here. I don't wear them out with them fans. All right, I'm not going to go do them. I guess somebody's doing those back there. Thank you, Brother Steve. All right, now we're back to the Word. Where was that? Sister Connie, after her head turned around two or three times, she said, wipe that smile off your face. Now, her head didn't turn around, but come on. It's kind of like, I meant to look it up this morning. I heard a preacher mention it in his message this morning. I was listening to him, and he said, let not he who's putting on his belt communicate to the man taking his belt off. Y'all don't understand what he's talking about, huh? He's talking about his weaponry. He said the man who's just putting on his weaponry, try to tell that guy that's taking the weaponry off, you know, something. That man that's putting it on better listen to that one that's been on the battlefield. Amen? He's been there. You better listen to that man. Amen. That fellas don't have any experience in trying to put that belt on. You see, and Paul sometimes, you know, here to these guys, they might would say if Paul just came in with a helicopter and lowered down on that ship and says, hey, y'all be of good cheer. And then fellas say, wait a minute, man, you ain't been on this ship all these days that I've been on this ship and you don't know what I've been through. But let me tell you, Paul has been right there on that ship and he's been in the same thing those people are doing. And he's been right there with them and he said to them, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I know what you're feeling. You're feeling scared and you're hungry and you don't know what's going on and you don't know if you're going to live or die. But Paul said, be of good cheer, for there stood by me this night an angel in whose I serve. Amen. That's what he's trying to encourage them and tell them make them understand. He said in verse 22, I now exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all that is with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. Amen. An angel has told him. See, it's important to listen to the things of God. Amen. I mean, can you see Paul in the book of Acts in the 12th chapter? You see him? They had already taken James's head, killed him. You know, already killed him. Oh, Herod saw that it pleased people that, you know, he had killed James. And so what he did, he took Peter and he's going to do the same with him. Because, boy, he's a hero to the people, killing these disciples of Christ. And so he got a hold to him, but it was too late. Passover was coming, so he had to lock him up. And he couldn't kill him till after the Passover, so he had to put him in jail. So old Peter was in a good place, wasn't he? Herod couldn't get to him because the people would get him if he tried to kill him during the Passover. The people couldn't get to Peter to kill him because the bars was holding him. So what did Peter do? He went to sleep. Amen? Well, how could he go to sleep knowing that in 3 days that he's going to take and be killed? Because he remembered the words of the Lord. He told him there in the last book of John, he says, when you're young, you know, you shall go where you want, but when you're old, another shall gird thee and carry you where you wish not. Speaking of his death. You know, Peter said, I'm still a young man, yet I can get me to sleep. I ain't going to die right now. Amen. Listen to the words of the Lord. Oh, Paul was telling them, be of good cheer. Listen to him. Amen. We see that in the 14th night came and they sounded out because they thought they was getting close to the shore. So they measured the water and they kept getting more shallow and more shallow. In the fear of them falling on the rock, they threw out the anchor. Amen. And they began to lower down little bitty boats because they didn't want to run on these rocks and bust up and get killed. They started lowering these little boats down. Amen. Sounds like today. People, there's so many doctrines out there. There's so many different churches out there. Come on. There's so many, you know, different beliefs out there that, man, I'd be confused myself going to a lot of places. Amen? I mean, you turn on the television on Sunday morning and try. This morning I had to hunt for a while. John Hagee was selling videos, which is good. He's talking about Jonathan Sperry, and that's good. That's well and good. He's a good man. I don't want to take nothing from John Hagee. He's a good man of God. Amen. Jimmy Swaggart selling books. I was looking for a preacher, you know. He's selling Bibles and different things, you know. So I couldn't listen to him. I went to one guy and he's talking, you know, just talking. I'm looking for a preacher, you know. I finally found one over there talking pretty good. So I listened to him a little bit. Amen. But I've seen all these just look like thousands of people. I said, how did you get all them people in there talking the way they're talking? I said, boy, I must be a junkie preacher. I must be a sorry preacher. You know, I mean, these guys got thousands of people and I try to listen to them. They ain't saying nothing. I said, boy, I must be awful. I don't know. Amen. I mean, I'm just telling what I'm thinking, you know, but it's so many different beliefs and so many different. Isn't it? Are y'all with me? I mean, it's all kind of beliefs out there. It's all kind of even so-called Bibles out there. I mean, it's all kind of different ways. And I mean, I don't know. I guess if I went all over the place, I'd be confused too. I don't know. But they started lowering down these other, and that's what they do in this last day. They lower down all these other little boats, all these other little ways, you know. And Paul comes to them, and he tells them, doesn't he tell them in verse 31, is it? Verse 31, let me find it. It says, and Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except ye abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. I was in Florida and I saw a big billboard and it says, many paths,
one God. No, it's not many paths either. There's only one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. Amen. They'll come along in this last day and they tell you it's not through denomination and it's not through names. It's not by Deliverance Tabernacle. It's not by David Whitfield that you're saved, but the man called Jesus Christ that laid down his life. I've never done for you what that man has done for you. He's the only way. Hallelujah. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. We understand that action in the fourth chapter in verse number 10. Paul and brother Peter and John, after they've healed this man through the Lord Jesus Christ, and they questioned him. It said, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm telling you, you better abide in the ship. He said over in Matthew's gospel, he said in the last days, Jesus did, said they'll be calling you out in the desert. Come out here to desert. He said, don't you go out there. They said, come over here in this secret chamber. We got something special going on. He said, don't you go over there. You better stay in the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, you better stay in it. You better stay in the book. Hallelujah. You better stay with the word. You better abide in the ship. Except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Glory to God. Then Paul did something in the middle of this storm. Now, I want you to really take note of this. This picture now, the water still, even with this, the water still tossing the ship everywhere. And it's still dark and still scared and fear. Look at it. And in the middle of all this, after he said, except you abide in the ship, don't get in them little boats. Don't try them other ways. Don't try this. Don't try that. Don't do that. See, that's what they tried to get old David to do. He said, here's old Saul's armor. He said, put that armor on. And he put it on, and I believe it like a little boy with his daddy's suit on. Look at puny. That's what the enemy wants you to look. He wants to dress you up where you look puny. And nothing. Come on, a laughing stock. No, David looked at this stuff and he shook it off. He said, look here, I ain't never tried this. I ain't never proved this. I don't know if it works or not. He said, but I know one thing, it works. Amen. He says, listen to this. Verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continue fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not any hair fall from your head of any. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all them. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. You know what he's doing? He's doing communion here in the middle of the ship. And Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Paul was saying, hey, there's a fourth man on this ship with us. There's somebody on this boat with us. We're not alone. Amen. But he's here with us. And we're remembering him. We're breaking the bread. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't never forget him. Don't let the word go to sleep in you. He was waking the word up in him. Glory to God. Verse 40, it says, and when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves into the sea. Now, this sea here, I recognize as the sea of life. And this sea of life sometimes, friend, can carry us in all kind of directions. Amen? Isn't it amazing that you know, I was born in Georgia and some of you was born in maybe another state and another time, and you know, all kind of different backgrounds, and how God has brought us all together. Isn't it amazing? Amen. It's amazing. I remember when Sister Claudia, Brother James first started coming here, Sister Jeannie and Brother Dwight was coming, and they sat down on the opposite side of the church, and they got to looking at one another, and they used to be friends back years ago, back out there in the world. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how God brings us together. Come on. It's amazing. Brother George, I was talking to him, and I don't guess y'all mind me telling this. Said, you know, he lost contact with one of his stepsisters back years ago. And lo and behold, she'd been coming to church here. Somebody decided the other Sunday, she sat over there, and they got to looking at her. And she wrote something on the envelope, and somebody saw the name Basil. And that's her. I'm telling you, it's amazing how God works in our life if we allow Him to. Amen. But in the sea of life, it says in verse 41, and falling into a place where the two seas met. I said that to say this, our life on the roads of life, in the sea of life, sometimes we come to a crossroads. What is that, Brother Dave? That's a place that we make a decision, which way shall we go? When you come into a forum like this right here, and you're lost and undone without God, you're coming to a crossroads in your life, and God is saying, which way will you take? Amen. Jesus said there's only two roads. There's a straight and narrow that leads to life, but there's a broad that leads to destruction. Which way will you take? It's either heaven or hell, my friend. Two roads is all it is in this crossroads. Which one will you take? It's all up to you. It's up to you. Which road will you take in this sea of life? This crossroads called decision that you're going to make one today. You'll make a decision. Every person in this room will make a decision. He said, Brother Abe, I'm on fire for God. You'll make a decision to get more on fire for God and burn even hotter and brighter. Come on. But everyone will make a decision today. The ship began to be broken up. It says in verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they could swim. See, that Paul was a prisoner. And they said he could swim. Those that could swim should swim, cast themselves first into the sea and get to the land. They could see the land there. Verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And it came to pass, they escaped all safe to land. What are you saying in that, Brother David? I'm saying that ship was a type of Christ. That ship kept them from the storm. Except you abide in the ship. Except you abide in Christ. This old world out there. In the world you shall have tribulation, Jesus said in John 16:33. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Just stay in me and I'll take you safely to the other side. You say, well, Brother Dave, that old ship broke up. Well, let me tell you, Jesus came down to this world and he laid aside his glory and he was broken for me and you. He died on a cruel cross and he gave his life for me and you. The ship gave its life to save everyone. They that could swim would swim, but they that could not would get on a piece of a board of that ship. This morning, I thank God that I'm on a piece of that old ship of Zion and I'm holding on, amen. And it's going to take me safely to the other side. All that was on board was carried safely to the shore. How wonderful God is. But listen to this. God this morning wants to prepare you. This morning you may be lost, or you may be newly saved, or you may be just kind of, you know, in the church and not really rooted and grounded, but you're doing pretty good. You're growing. But God wants to prepare you. Because there's a world out there that wants to take from you what God has given you. There's a thief. He said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. There's a thief out there that wants to drag you to hell. But there's a Savior sitting in heaven that's calling you to come on. You can make it. There's arena all around us of examples in the Bible. In Hebrews 12, 1, he said, we're so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Amen. All the Old Testament saints, everyone that's gone on, every preacher, every teacher is up there in heaven that's gone on and said, come on, you can make it. Amen. What are you doing about it? But God wants to prepare you. Listen to 28th chapter, and I'm almost finished. Listen. Verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, whatever. Somerville. Isle of Palms. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. In other words, they showed them great kindness. For they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hands. Amen. Let me tell you, in your life, when you get saved, there's some friends ain't gonna like you no more. When you begin to get the fire of God in your life, the snakes is gonna start coming out. The true colors will. Amen. I mean, you can go into a cold, dead church and preach a fiery message and know those serpents will start stirring around. Amen. I remember one time, this was years ago, I hadn't been saved too long, but there was another brother with me that had been saved even shorter time than me. And we went to visit this woman, this young man that his grandmother wanted us to go visit, and said that she hears him talking to himself and talking to things in his room. And so we went, had a room in her house, but he had a trailer down behind her house, and we went there to his old trailer in the back. And we went in, and it was kind of old. He just had a bad feeling in there, you know. And so we went in and we sat down and we talked to him for a while about the Lord and different things. And after a while, we getting ready to leave. And so I said, I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. And he said, okay. And when we started praying, in my spirit, I saw demons all in that. Now, you say, Brother Dave, I don't believe it. I didn't tell you to make you believe it. This is what happened. And demons real, you know. They real. And every one of them was about this high. And they was just walking all in that place. And so, Brother Dave, why don't you just cast them out? Well, first, I was young in the Lord. First time I ever experienced anything like that. And the other guy was even younger. I was concerned about him. I'm taking this real novice with me in here, you know, into this situation. And as I prayed, they just was stirred. It's like that fire. He didn't like that, you know. And we finished praying, you know, and we left, you know. But I said that to say this. When the fire starts burning, the snakes will start coming out. It said he gathered some old sticks, some old dry sticks, some rubbish, and he put it on the fire, and the snakes begin to come out. There may be people in your life that when you start serving the Lord that you know, they was real good friends to you, but all of a sudden, they ain't your friends anymore. I mean, you get with the same crowd, and they start picking on you. You know, they start, you know, laughing at what you doing. You one of them old Christian persons now. You know, one old church person. You old zealot. You know? They're not going to like you anymore. An old dry church, when the fire of the Holy Ghost starts coming in, the snakes of church will start coming up. And what happens is usually a split in the church will take place. Sometimes when a church gets to fasting and praying, come on, you might lose a few people. Come on, when a good Holy Ghost revival comes, you might lose a few people. You get the fire of God and excitement of God in you, and some of you own people, family people will say, you got off the deep end. You done got hooked up with a cult. You're strange. They said the same thing about Jesus. I mean, my goodness. Think it not strange. Listen,
Matthew's gospel in the 3rd chapter in verse 1. Those can start working your way to the instruments. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, mind you, there ain't never been nobody like this come on the scene here in these days. I mean, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had it down with their long robes, and they was kind of like, dearly beloved, we have gathered here in the presence of God. And I'm going to speak Latin to you, you know, blah, 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 you know. I mean, that's what there was. All of a sudden, here's this dude coming from the wilderness. He don't look like us, and he don't talk like us. He don't act like us. Amen. I mean, he's wearing camel hair. He don't have the long robe on. He don't have the priest robes on, you know. All the bells and everything. I mean, here he is with camel hair on. He's eating locusts and wild honey. He's like a maniac. He's got something in his voice that stirs people, got some fire. He says, and he's preaching repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, say, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. You know what happened? Then the uptown church got to looking over there and seeing everybody going out there and seeing what's going on out there. And they get to begin to, the snake starts coming out of them. Said, we need to go out there and put that little mess out. We need to go out. That's why they went out there. The Pharisees and the Sadducees went out there to stop John the Baptist. That's what they went out there for. But he understood why they was there. There's some people that will try to stop you from doing what God was calling you to do. There's some people that will discourage you and tell you, say, hey, we're living in 2011. You don't have to live like that old Whitfield preacher preaches it. You don't have to live. This is 2011, man. We've been free to. We can do. Well, if it feels good, do it. Do it. Jump in one of them other little boats. It'll take you. Amen. It'll take you under. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. He knew that fire that was in him was stirring them snakes, buddy. Let me tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost fire in you, and when you get the joy of God and the excitement of God, don't you let so unbeliever come along and try to put your fire out. You just abide in the ship. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Amen. He says, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham our father. We have deliverance tabernacle. Don't you say that. We have our Baptists we've brought up in, or our Methodists. Our church of God. I brought up church of God. We have the church of God. We're church of God. There's some people who would never go to another church, but wasn't it raised in? I was raised in the church of God. In fact, we're more church of God today here than the church of God is. But there's some good church of Gods, and there's some good Baptists and good Methodists. There are good people in all of them. I hope. I ain't been there, but I hope so. Same Jesus. It's same Jesus. Paul talks about in Philippians, the first chapter, he says, some indeed preach Christ with contention and strife, and some with goodwill. Whichever way, in pretense, that means false, or truth, I there rejoice. In other words, you can get saved if a man is preaching in a satanic church and he's preaching out of this King James right here about Jesus dying for your sins. You can get saved there, but you better not remain there. You better start reading and study to show yourself approved, and you'll find out, whoa, these people ain't talking my language. I'm going to get over here with somebody talking my language. You better study yourself. That's why we encourage you to study. That's why we give you tons of scriptures.
Stannis, make sure that David Whitfield's telling you the truth. I could be lying to you this morning. I want you to know, in case one day I go and I'm out of here, the next person stand up here said, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's not true. Because I know the truth, and truth has made me free. Amen. Help us, Lord. Y'all ready to play? Hold on a second. Amen. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. It don't matter who you are. Don't matter your name. It's a lot of people trusting their name and their fortune or their, you know, their upbringing, their background. No, 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 no. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire changes the state of something. How many knows that? Fire will change the state of everything. Everything burns. He said, Brother Dave, steel don't burn. I beg to differ. Y'all seen the World Trade Centers? Steel melts. It burns. Rocks don't burn. Have you ever seen a volcano? One of them, there it is right behind me. Look at there. Fire will change the state of everything. There's some people that is hard and will not crack to the gospel preaching. Come on. There's some people that are so hard that the gospel tries to crack them. I ain't cracking. I ain't bending. Yesterday, Brother Brian was over there and we was busting up some old logs out there at the house. And a drug old piece of hickory that had been cut for a while. Hickory, the longer it's cut, the harder it gets. The longer you live, the harder you get. My dad says there's an age a person gets that the odds of them ever getting saved starts working against them. I tend to believe that. Not saying that a person old can't get saved. I'm just saying they're more set in their ways. And some people, the gospel can't crack. And they're like that old hickory log. And that old log splitter went, tuk, 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 tuk. Busted it. And Brian said, old log splitter won out again, didn't it? That's the way the gospel is sometimes. It busts right through like that red oak. Some people's like old hickory. And it, but finally it cracks. But we threw one up there, and that log splitter just wouldn't do it. I mean, it was huge. And it just said, he raised that engine up. We had to take something pry it off. He threw it aside and said, we'll save that for later. But you know something? I took one of them pieces of hickory that was so hard. Didn't want to get broke. I was thinking about this when I was doing that. See, everything. God speaks to you in nature, if you let him. And I said, that old hickory is like some people. Hard to crack. But I took that thing in the house and I threw it right up in that fire. And that fire consumed it easily. You see, the Holy Ghost fire either going to break you here or the hell fire will break you there. And you'll think different, only it'll be too late. When you fall off into hell, my friends, it's too late. But you'll get a renewing of your mind. You'll be like that rich man crying out to Abraham. Abraham, send Lazarus over here to touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in these flames. Luke 16 chapter. I don't believe that, Brother Dave. That don't change the temperature one bit. That rich man is still crying out in hell, even as I speak now. Because Jesus said there was a rich man. It's not a fairy tale story. It's the truth. And that rich man will be brought up before the white throne judgment, judged for his life. Then he'll be cast into the lake which burns with fire, Gehenna, which is the second death. I don't want you to go there. I want you to come unto the Lord this morning. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there comes one after me whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat. See, into the garner, what they would do, they would crush the wheat and they would throw it up into the air, and they'd take the big fan and they'd blow it, and the chaff would blow away. But the wheat, the substance, the real salvation ones will stay. And he'll gather them into the garner. Amen. See, some won't like you, the new you. God wants to prepare you for that. Mark 10:29, and Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother, wife, children, and lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sister and mother and children and lands with persecution in the world to come, eternal life." 1 Peter 4:4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rights, speaking evil of you. They think you weird now because you don't do those same things anymore. Amen. And lastly, Luke 6:22. Blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner so they did the prophets. Abide in the ship. Let me tell you, that old ship of Zion's about to sail. Are you ready? Are you on board? Let me tell you, in this last day, you better get more on board. Don't hang on to the rail of that thing. Get on over in the ship. Don't play with God. Young people, don't play with God. I wished I'd have got saved years before I did. We got saved, I think I was about 31 years old. And it made me angry that I waited so long, Brother Larry. Wasted years. I mean, I wished there's so many people that I couldn't witness to that I could have changed their life. They're dead and gone now. But I'm redeeming the time now and doing what I can, aren't you? Amen. Look at the one next to you and say, "You better abide in the ship, because that ship's about to leave." Amen. Come on, stand with us all over this house. I don't know where you stand with God this morning. I don't know if you've been trying to do it your own way. I don't know. Maybe this morning you're in a storm. Maybe all hope is gone. Maybe you're losing hope, losing sight, losing vision. Maybe this morning you want to come and pray. Won't you step out from where you hadn't come? Come on. Lord, just have your way right now, Lord. God, I've delivered the word that you've laid on my heart. Father, you've challenged us, Lord. So often we do it our way. Lord, I know in this building this morning, there's some that do it their own way.